Welcome to the Power of Partnership podcast. I'm Rhian Eisler, president of the Center for Partnership Systems. This podcast brings you voices from the partnership movement, people using partnership practices to build a world that values caring, nature, and shared prosperity. The Power of Partnership podcast is hosted by Cherry Jacobs Pruitt, a health policy and partnership scholar. Today, Cherry and I discuss with author Victoria Friedman the new children's book that Victoria and I co-authored with Ellen Mann. The book is called Fogbusters, The Eyes of Care, and was published in October 2023. And now on to the POP podcast to learn more about Fogbusters and the power it holds to help children of all ages nurture a world that values caring nature and shared prosperity.
Welcome, Rhian and Victoria, to the Power of Partnership podcast, and for being here to introduce our listeners to the new children's book that you both have published recently, Fogbusters, The Eyes of Care. I'd like to start by asking you, Rhian, to share with our listeners how this book writing adventure began.
Well, thank you so much, and it's a pleasure being here. I met Victoria through our mutual friend, Kurt Johnson. Victoria is a very gifted children's story writer, illustrator. I think it was Victoria's idea, actually, that we do a book on the four cornerstones. But what came to Victoria was four children from four corners of the earth. One from San Francisco, one from the northern regions, one from a beautiful area, Thailand, that Victoria has visited, and the other one from Rio de Janeiro, two girls and two boys. And these are the children with eyes of care. And the theme of the book is really care.
Nice.
Which is also a theme, as you know, of my work.
How about you, Victoria? Can you share a little bit more about where the idea for the book came from your perspective?
Yes, I'd love to. This mutual friend of ours, Kurt, and no, he actually asked me, he said, I'm going to be speaking with Rhian Eisler, and she wants to do a children's book. Would you like to speak with her? And I said, of course, sure. So I looked at it, and you know, four cornerstones, see those cornerstones, it's a very, very visual thing, cornerstones. Four, like four directions, you know, the indigenous cultures with the four directions. So four children just came to me before I even met her. I said, there are four children, they're from the four corners of the earth. It was, you know, I mean, I guess we could call it magical because it was just like that. And then we got together and I didn't know what she would think of that. I didn't know what I thought of that. And I said, Rhian, before I even started reading your things and four cornerstones, and I think there are four children that are incarnated, you know, to really help this world. And she said, I love that. And that's how it started.
Beautiful. And Rhian, can you speak a little bit more about what was driving you to want to do a children's book?
Well, I actually think that children's books are such an important part of socialization, of what we call education. Kids know experientially the importance of care, but I don't think that they're really exposed to the devaluation of care, what I call the domination fog in this story. And So it just evolved out of that sense that children need reinforcement of their inner knowledge of the importance of care, which unfortunately, due to our domination heritage, is devalued, as is caregiving, as is love, as is these things that are considered, that are coded in domination systems as feminine. And I wanted to have a book that elevates these.
And why a children's book now in your life?
Well, that's an interesting question as to why now, given that I am aged. I think that it's been missing. And I was preparing my archives because there's some interest in them at a University of California. And I realized that one of the first things I ever did, and it was, of course, connected very much with gender, but also with childhood, was a radio program on how the conventional fairy tales, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, how they, first of all, they really teach both girls and boys the dominator gender stereotypes, right? That, Sleeping Beauty can't even get up, wake up without being kissed by a prince. And Cinderella has to be rescued from her, terrible conditions that, and her father is never blamed, only the women. Her stepmother and her stepsisters are blamed. But it also idealizes, of course, royalty, those on top, right? I mean, it's all the same package, it's top-down rankings, whether it's man over man over woman, race over race, it's religion over religion, it's in-group versus out-group. And yes, so I wanted to give children and parents who really care and grandparents who really care a children's book, and there came Victoria.
Beautiful.
Well, in working together with a team, actually, one day I looked up the best fairy tale just to see what is the most popular fairy tale, and it was Cinderella. So I mentioned it to Rianne, and she just laid it open, and I was like, "This is just so true." I had never ever getting children's stories, working with children for 20 years. I had never thought of that. Ever came to my mind. That story was. There was some interpretation, in the new age of that story, and but the story for a child is about a victim girl whose answer is a prince, and who get dressed up and looks good. So that came totally from Rihanna. It has changed such a perspective in me. I don't even know what to do. Those are our they're like the things we do we cherish.
So before we dig a bit deeper into the actual story, can you speak a bit, Rian, about the four cornerstones? You've just touched heavily on narratives and stories, which is one of those cornerstones. But can you speak about how those four cornerstones are so critical for our listeners to understand in terms of making cultural transformation towards partnership?
But the four cornerstones, and the story actually, Fogbusters does talk about them. Gender, I mean, here are powerful girls, right? Girls and boys in partnership. That is being modeled in that story. Childhood. The importance of childhood is all over this book, that children know that caring is important, and if they can, and they have the power, which they do in this story, and frankly, I think children have much more power and much more insight and much more knowledge than we give them credit for. In fact, we know, and this is one of the themes in Nurturing Our Humanity, the book that I wrote, published by Oxford University Press in 2019, that by the grace of evolution, we really know the importance of caring. And all things being equal, we're going to actually revert to that programming for caring. But all things are not equal. And we know that because we know from neuroscience and other sciences that what really matters is gene expression, and that happens in interaction of our genes with our environment, which for us humans is primarily cultural. And of course, economics is built into the story too, because we have an economic system of winning and losing, of those on top and those on bottom. So those are the four cornerstones, but as I said, they're implicit rather than explicit, as they have to be in a story which is fiction, but which is truth.
You are listening to the Power of Partnership podcast. If you would like us to share your partnership story, or if you would like to become a proud sponsor of the POP podcast, please contact us at center@partnershipway.org. And now, back to today's episode.
So, Victoria, can you share with us a high-level summary of the story of Fogbusters?
Fogbuster starts on a little planet Earth, little tiny planet, very bright planet Earth. And on this planet Earth lives a tree spirit, and her name is Olivia. And Olivia is the caretaker of the world. She cares what happens on this Earth. And I just want to make a little note here saying that it's really important for children to have things that are invisible materially. You know, that's because it's really the basis of faith. It really is, because a child can believe in angels and God and fairies, but something that is invisible. And to them, they just love that this idea of a spirit, a little fairy spirit exists. They love that idea. Well, we all do if we're honest. So we love that idea and see that it's the love that translates when we get older. So there's Olivia, and Olivia began to see what was going on Earth because a fog crept over the Earth, a very unusual fog, not a usual fog, a mysterious fog. That has to be made clear to children. It's not just the fog you see outside. It's a dangerous fog. And this fog came in and bad things started to happen. Children were not cared for. Around the whole Earth, children were not cared for. And mothers and caretakers, people who took care of people, they were not valued. And then, you know, the bad things happened and people started fighting, winning. And, you know, that's what children learn. You know, you don't share, you win, and you have to fight for it. And so Olivia was very upset. She didn't know what to do, so she went to Mother Earth. And Mother Earth also was concerned, very concerned. And Mother Earth went up to the universe. She went to the universe, and the universe answered. And the universe sent down four children, as Rian said, in the four corners of the earth. And the children didn't know each other. When they were seven, Olivia whispered in their ear, and they went on a trip to the land of temples in the east. They went there, and they got there. They didn't know each other. They just went on a trip, a little vacation. And they got there, and they all were on a bus going to this temple, because it's the land of the tree temples. When they got to the temple, the parents were getting to know each other outside, and the children walked into the temple. And the temple is a model of Angkor Wat, which is a World Heritage Site in Thailand. It's phenomenal. It's an unbelievable place, a place called Ta Prohm. So I kind of loosely doodled those temples because they have such power and they're such a, you know. So the children went in there and they were scared And on the ground were four cornerstones, but they were big stones and they were sparkling with color. So they were a little scared. And then Olivia came right out of the trees, right out of the tree roots, tree spirit. She came out and she said, "I am Olivia." And she tells them their mission, that they're on Earth and that they are the fog busters and that they're here to clear the fog. So, then they listened to Olivia. And she said to pick up their stones. They picked up their stones, and the stones went on their fingers and became care rings. So now they had each had a magic care ring. They got these care rings, and then they walked out of the temple, and their care rings started to glow in all of the area that they could see, right? Just Asia, just Thailand there became colorful, bright, brilliant. Everything became color because it was gray. So the parents were overjoyed. Everybody was overjoyed. They couldn't believe it's happening. They all went home to their home places, their four corners. They get to the airport, and there are people all over the airport because they heard about it. So there are people all over there, and they're saying, "What's going on?" And there are people with placards saying, "We like the fog. We don't want the fog to go away." And somebody else is saying, "The fog is good. I like the fog, and don't take our fog away." And other people are saying, "What'll happen? Will my cat be okay? Will it be too bright? Would my eyes get hurt?" And there are some people like us saying, "Yay, yay, take away the fog. This is what we've been waiting for." So that's where I'm going to leave you, because after that, those are some challenges for those fog busters. But Olivia comes back and she gives them something that they can consider. That they can consider and that they have the power to do. And they do that and they clear the fog. And it's an extremely unconditional request that she gives them, very high level.
Beautiful. Is there anything you want to share with our listeners about what they can expect to see in the illustrations?
Oh, they can expect to see incredible color. Really, really fun. A lot of movement, a lot going on. Yeah, a
Nice.
lot of lines, a lot of doodling inside the lines. And so if you're seeing the pictures, please take a look at, for example, that temple. Take a look at all the roots coming way down to the ground like that. And take a look at Olivia. Because Olivia is so interesting because she changes her color. Tree spirits and fairies can change their skin color, their hair color, their eye color, and she changes. In every picture that you see of her, she changes her colors. And also, take a look at the eyes of all the children and the eyes of Olivia, because those are your eyes. Those are your eyes. Those are the eyes of care. And everybody has them. That's the thing, everybody has them. We just have to open them. So I think the best thing is to really look at those eyes.
And
Beautiful.
there are also some pages for blank pages in the book so that children can add their own doodles or whatever they want to do there. And I think that's very important because so many books are just, the message is to you. But here there is also a partnership, really, an ability to really put your own impressions, do your own art or your writing or whatever you feel like. And I like that. And that too was Victoria's idea. And I really am delighted that Victoria created, because she is the main creator here. I now have my wish. A children's book.
Nice. So, Victoria, I know that you and Rian worked very closely on the book. Were there others that helped contribute to creating Fog Busters?
Yes, it was the best team. The best team. It was Kurt Johnson, who, as we call him, King Kurt from Where the Wild Things Are. King Kurt, King of All the Wild Things, Maurice Sendak. And Kurt was like the catalyst. He just put everything together and he kept moving us along. And Ellen, my friend Ellen, man, she's a digital designer, and she's a book designer. And we actually did the coloring the book together on Zoom in Photoshop. Ellen and I love to do this. We've done other books together, and we're working on more. So that's been great. And the partnership also, we had this man, Doug King, a theologian. He was on for a while. That was an interesting mix. And we had a Sufi scholar on for a while, and he was amazing, Nomi. And so it was a real collaboration. As Riant says, this was a total example of partnership. I mean, the result is what is the result is one, the book. The book is one. We're just, forms. We're just objects here who created something like the world. But the book is one. Without Rian's complete inspiration and care, I mean, what is more important than that? And there's so much more. I could say so much more about the four cornerstones and everything, because it's just, what she's bringing to the world is just, it's just essential. That's the word I could think of. And children can get it. Oh, children will get it. Children understand care.
Now, how can people find the book, Fogbusters? How can they order that?
Well, they can order it on Light on Light Press, which is the press that we published it with Kurt Johnson, Light on Light Press. They go in there. They can just go straight to Amazon. If they put in Fogbusters and Victoria Friedman, it'll take them right there. Fogbusters and Rian Isler, it will take them right there. And then they can just order it. And I think it gets shipped pretty quickly. So I think that's the best way, either on Amazon or Light on Light Press.
Wonderful. And I will add links to both of those sources in the show notes for today's episode as well. So listeners, you can just scroll on down to the show notes and click directly on there. So before we close today's episode, I wonder if you each have some closing words you'd like to share with our listeners. And Victoria, I'd like to ask you to begin.
Well, all I have to say is that we need to live connectedly. We need to live connectedly ever after.
Beautiful. Rian, how about you?
Well, I love that living connectedly ever after. And that really, once we realize that we all have this human yearning for caring connection, then we can change our reward system, economics, and live more connectedly ever after. And that's what the story really is about, that we can do this cultural transformation and lift the fog.
Thank you for listening to the Power of Partnership podcast. We're grateful to Rising Appalachia for the use of Resilience as our Power of Partnership theme music. If you would like us to feature your partnership story, or if you would like to be a proud sponsor of the Power of Partnership podcast, please contact us at center@partnershipway.org. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will leave us a review on your favorite podcast channel. And don't forget to subscribe to be notified when new episodes are released. I'm Cherry Jacobs Pruitt. See you next time on the Power of Partnership podcast.
I am resilient. I trust the movement. I negate the chaos. Uplift the negative. I'll show up at the table again and again and again. I'll close my mouth and learn to live.